You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? Happy Masters Week. We're back again. It's episode 277 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle and Ben. It's Wednesday of the Masters. You're getting ready to watch the par three contest. You get your first real look on TV of the course. Hopefully the weather's nice. I think some weird weather's rolling into Augusta over the next couple of days. So hopefully it's nice. But tonight's episode's brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Sign up today. Use coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. Get a 50% welcome bonus. I've done the math a million times, at least 276 times. I'm about to do it for the 277th time. You give them $100 with a 50% bonus. You get the 100 back plus $50 back on top to play with. So
come on now.
Go ahead. We're going to give you our picks for the Masters. Go ahead and pick you some futures. Get some futures picks. And you know, win big. I mean, you got Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, both paying 7-1 odds, and John Rahm paying 10-1. Hey, if you put $20 on all three of those, and one of them hits, you win.
You make money.
So have some fun with it. Bet Online. It's where the games start. Ben, we didn't pod the last couple of days because I won the lottery, took my Masters practice round trip, and we couldn't do it on Sunday night. It was real tricky. I didn't get home till super late Monday. We stayed until they basically kicked us out. So we're catching up. We're going to try to pod at least once a day throughout the Masters here on out. So the next 5 days in a row. So should be a lot of fun. There's a lot to talk about. But I think it's good to go ahead and get on the board like we did last year. Go ahead and get our winners, our favorite winners, our dark horse picks to win the Masters. Let's go ahead and put it out there, talk our way through it, and just have some fun with it. And like I said, that way when it comes back on Sunday, if either one of us have won or whatever, we can have fun making fun of the other. So
yes,
or we can make fun of ourselves for how bad our picks are. So
yeah, we're probably both going to be wrong.
Anyway, Ben, I want to let you start. Let's start with a dark horse, okay?
Okay.
And we declared our dark horse as anyone that's plus 20,000 or more. So, to essentially, you know, pretty high odds. Pretty high odds. So,
mine is really high odds.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Not super high, but still plus 50,000.
Oh, holy cow.
Kevin Kisner.
Oh, gosh.
Come get some. Mr. I Love Augusta. Basically grew up just miles from it. Loved playing there. Played there a ton. He's just somebody that he's never won it, but he definitely knows he's one that he's somebody that knows his way around the course. Going to need that this weekend with a chance of rain on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The least chance of rain that there is 80% chance on Friday. It's like 90% chance on Saturday and like another 85% chance on Sunday. So going to need somebody that knows how to plod their way around and be able to get their way around the course, know where to miss. Two things can happen on something like that. I mean, those greens are just going to get really, really soft. And so some guys may be able to throw some darts. Have a bunch of tap-in putts, but on some usually what we say is slick greens, but with all the moisture they're going to have, the greens will probably start holding this weekend. I know everybody says, well, they can suck the moisture out. Not when it's a 90% chance of rain, it rains all night. They're not going to suck the moisture out of that. Kevin Kisner, my dark horse at plus 50,000.
I've heard they can suck a golf ball through a garden hose, personally. I like it. I like it. Old Kevin Kisner's going to have to play 13 as a four-shot par five, though. That's only.
Yeah, you did say that. They have not done a good job of Live from the Masters describing 13.
I'm going to describe it later, so just get ready.
I had to get it from you, so it's kind of – I don't know why they haven't, because the way you told me on text, I don't know why this has not been brought up on Live from the Masters, because it seems like it's going to be a really big deal.
Yep.
Especially if it's 80 and 90% chance of rain. I mean, what are you going to have to poke it out there, Kyle? 330, 340?
To get around the corner so you can have a shot at it. Like, you got to hit a bomb.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later, but because I got some stories to tell. So Gary Woodland is my dark horse at plus 27,500. Gary has been lying in the weeds, lying in the wilderness, ready to strike. I watched him on 13. Okay. And this is the only reason I'm picking him. This is the only reason I'm picking him.
Oh, Lord.
He hit the longest drive I've ever seen in my whole life on 13, farther than anybody out there. He had probably no more than like a 6-iron in, and he hit it to like, I don't know.
What?
10 or 12. I'm telling you, he hit one all the way around the corner, flew it all the way around, farther than Rory hit his, you know, hit the drive that he hit, farther than DJ, farther than anybody. I mean, it was just moonshot. I was blown away. So I was like, right there, I'm like, dang, he's one to watch just because of one shot. So one shot I saw. I don't know how he could have shot 80.
Kyle's going to take one shot in a practice round with nothing on the line. And
could have shot 80 that day. I don't know. He might have shot 80. I don't know, but I'm going Gary Woodland.
He did great on that one shot. After that, he parked it with a 92 before it was all set.
I'm trying to pretend like I got inside info. I'm giving y'all a little inside info right now. So Gary Woodland hit one long drive, slapped the Gary Woodland button.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not shocked that you're using that as your telltale of, hey, I got my guy. He hit one drive. It was a bomb. I got my guy.
Yep. Yep. All right. So I'm going to pick. Let's switch it up. I'm going to pick my winner, and then you can pick your winner. I'm not going to just go like super duper betting favorite. He's got good odds, but I like the way Max Homa is playing.
Oh.
I like the way he carried himself. He played with Justin Thomas on Monday, and Gordon Sargent, the NCAA champion, and he looks like the way he walks, the way he was hitting, like they spin, like it's crazy how like long they spend on the greens, and like every single time, like we're throwing those little cup flaps that's like,
yep,
simulates a cup. I mean, we're just throwing them up there tight. Hit it, the pin was in the middle on 12. He just goes right at it, hits a little cut off the pin to 12. Like it's just, everything looks easy. Everything looks like he's just, you know, not even really trying. So I'm going with Max Homa as my winner. Max Homa will win the Masters.
That's still a little out of the box. You know, it favors past champions. Yes. You know, they're at least going to be up there in the top 10. Like we talked about that. There's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a ton of LIV guys, but there's so many LIV guys that have won at Augusta and done well at Augusta. It wouldn't shock me come Saturday and Sunday if out of the top 10, 3 to 4 of them aren't LIV guys that are up there at the top.
I hope so.
Now that's not who I'm going with to win. I set that up to make you think that I was going to go with like a DJ or something like that. I am going with Jordan Spieth.
Okay.
Who has been a previous champion. He's been playing a little bit better. Here's the key thing. Jordan Spieth has won twice on Easter. Sunday is Easter. So just one of those things where for some reason
he's Jesus. He could be Jesus.
I think JT referred to him as Golf Jesus.
Golf Jesus.
Because of his two wins on Easter.
That's great.
And JT even made like fun of him where he said something like, that's why everybody likes him. I mean, he wins on Easter Sunday. The rest of us just can't compete with that. It's tough. So I can't pick against him. He's
batting 1,000.
He's competed on Sunday. I think on Easter Sunday, he's competed, I think he said, three times, and he's won twice.
That's crazy.
So I'm going to have to go with Jordan Spieth. Plus, he's not playing bad right now. He's been in contention the last few tournaments that he's played in. He had an opportunity to win, and his putter just left him a couple of weeks ago. So I think his game's getting better. He's still – that's the thing with him, though, is that dadgum putter in his short game. Sometimes everybody always talks about his drives aren't terrible. His irons aren't terrible, but Jordan makes his money when he's making 55-foot bombs to break people's back. And, you know, and when he plays his worst is when he's getting up there and gets in a hurry on a 3-footer and runs it by 4 feet. So if he can just keep that putter hot throughout the weekend, he should be fine. And plus, they will wrap the weekend on Easter Sunday. So I got to go with Golf Jesus and Jordan Spieth.
I like it. I think it's going to be a fireworks leaderboard. I would love nothing more than to see Cam Smith win or any, honestly, any live guy. But Cam Smith, I feel like maybe only DJ Moore. Hell, I don't know. I didn't like Brooks. Now I'm rooting for Brooks. I saw Cam Smith's caddy. Cam Smith's caddy was walking the whole course without him just the whole day. And I was hoping I get to see him. I never did get to see him, but I just, the drama and like some of the things that people have said, you know, that all, you know, Greg Norman not being invited back, on the grounds, them saying if a live guy wins, they're all going to has a chance. They're all going to hang back and wait and basically like rush the green. If he wins, which just makes it that much more awesome. But I'm not going to go too much into this, but I just want to say I do want to say one thing for people out there listening. Fans don't care that much about dudes that went to live. Dustin Johnson had one of the biggest crowds out there, like by far. It was really hard to even get close to see him. I got relatively close on 13. He hit a big drive out there, had to hit a long iron in and hit one in the water and then hit one up on the green. But, I don't think the fans care. I don't think the fans care. I think there would be a lot of people that would be just as happy to see a Dustin Johnson or, you know, Bryson DeChambeau. He was playing by himself, had a huge crowd. I mean, these guys still move the needle. And, I just don't,
they're still fan favorites. Yeah, like they're still like, people still want their autograph. They still want their picture with them.
Everybody universally loves Cam Smith. Like there's, it's crazy that everybody, like the players love him. You know, they don't like Patrick Reed, but they didn't like Patrick Reed when he was on the PGA tour. So
yeah, that's no different.
I just don't think it's a big deal out of anybody but the media. The Brandel Chamblees of the world. I don't think anybody really cares that much anymore.
Like they made a big deal out of it where they, you know, Fred Couples made some comments about live guys and somebody asked him during one of the open press conferences, well, what if Phil asked you to play a practice round? And he goes, I play with him in a heartbeat. He's like, I mean, we still know each other. You know, same thing with DJ. They ask him, they go, well, how many friends have you lost since you joined Liv? He's like, everybody that was my buddy before I went to live, still my buddy. So
Fred's been running his mouth media a little bit more than that though. He runs his mouth good bit.
No, he has. No, I'm saying he did run his mouth and he did say stuff, but still at the end of the day, I think if one of them like approached him, I don't think he's going to say anything. I think he's given the media sound bites and they're running with it. And, you know, Freddie and the Brandels of the world. And I'm telling you, the only level headed one out there is on Live from the Masters, Paul McGinley. And he's the one that still kind of semi defends Liv from time to time because he feels the same way we do. He's like, look, they're good golfers. I want to see them play. Like, what is the big deal? Why are y'all so upset that they get to play? Like, don't you want the best in the world competing at the highest level in majors? And they're like, well, we do, but they're live. It's like, so? Like, what? And you just said it. I mean, you went to the practice room. They're not being outcasts. People aren't like turning their backs on them when they're out there on the practice range or when they're playing their practice round. They're following them, taking pictures of them. They're yelling at them. They're, you know, wanting them to wave at them, wanting to give them thumbs up, giving them, you know, giving Bubba the Bubba Booey, you know, and all that. I mean, that's the stuff that's still going on, even though they haven't been on tour since last year when they were allowed to play in some majors. So it's kind of odd that it's like with politics and this whole basketball thing, you know, the Iowa girl came out and said that didn't upset her. Like the media is making they overblow everything. And then when you actually talk to the players are like, I just want to play. Like that's what I signed up to do.
And we're buddies and we all hang out off the course and we play money games at Medalist and all these courses around Jupiter, Florida. Like, it's all a charade. And I was not more convinced of that than seeing the crowds follow the guys that supposedly no one likes, watching guys play together. You know, Harold Varner was in a group of PGA guys. Dustin Johnson was in the middle of a group of PGA guys. Bryson played by himself, but I think that's a Bryson thing. A lot of guys played by themselves. Scott Stallings played by himself. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they were all kind of intermingling. Sergio played with somebody interesting. I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was not a who did he play with? I can't remember. But it was a couple of PGA Tour guys, and you would think Sergio for sure would be, you know, probably like excommunicated or whatever. But
yeah, he's the one that said, "I can't wait to get the hell off this tour." So
yeah, but that was probably one of the more interesting things that I noticed. And I, you know, possibly could people be going to see them just because, hey, it's a live tour guy. I just want, you know, it's like a, you know, do I just go see the bad guy? I don't know, but it seemed like it's just, you know, the Masters crowd, the patrons are a more respectful group than, you know, your typical, you know, crowd. Yeah. So they're not going to be booing. But you could sense excitement. You could sense electricity whenever those guys came through, and you could feel it with the crowd. So that's going to make for such an awesome Masters. The Masters this year, this could be the most electric one, especially if we have some live dudes making a charge. Cam Smith always plays good here. You know, DJ's won here. Reed's won here.
Yeah, he
well. I mean, you got Jason Kokrak. I mean, all these dudes that can bomb it, hit it good. You know, got pretty close to Jason Kokrak. He was playing by himself. I don't know, man. I don't know. I was curious to see the reaction from everybody, but it was clear to me that I think the vast majority of people feel like we do. Than in the golf media, you know, persons are the ones that have made this thing so, I guess, so like, you know, headbutting and so like there's a huge riff of, you know, division. And I just really don't think it's there.
No, and I've said before, being a member of quote unquote media, and you can be pro PGA without being anti live. And I think that's what Brandel doesn't understand, and Nick Faldo doesn't understand, and some of the other guys, that they always make sure it's, you know, it's like I told you, it's like mentioning your opponent in a campaign ad. You don't do that. Like what? No. Like just talk about your, if you want to be pro PGA, just talk about pro PGA stuff. Quit bringing it up. Quit bringing up the live stuff. But they before I came up to record the pod with you, I was watching it, and that's what they were doing. It was all about live. It wasn't about the Masters, it wasn't about the PGA Tour, it wasn't about the matchups that we're going to see, it was about LIV. And, you know, and it's like, okay, well, if you keep bringing it up, people are going to keep wondering more about, like, you're literally driving people to go watch them. Because it's like, okay, they keep talking about it. Maybe I need to turn over to CW and see what's going on. And that's another thing, Kyle. If a LIV guy wins this event, the next CW broadcast will be watched. I promise.
Oh yeah. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. Speaking of just awesome things, you guys have gone nuts with the bad birdie stuff. Like, thank y'all so much for your support there. Like, just getting,
you're wearing a bad birdie shirt right now, aren't you?
I got a bad birdie shirt. This is the Paint Splatter 2, I think. The Paint Splatter 2 and bad birdie hat. We got more stuff coming. They're sending us some more stuff, so we really appreciate that. Use coupon code DAD15 and take 15%, continue to take 15% off your order. Mm-hmm. One thing I don't know if people know they have yet, they got putter head covers and driver head covers, and they look awesome. They look, it's like that leather material, the cool, this little logo all over it. It's just, I'm obsessed with their stuff. Like, I never thought I would be into the loudness, like louder than Ben. And I have like eight shirts.
You embraced it.
I've totally embraced it. I got like eight shirts and a couple more hats on the way. Like, I'm just so pumped. So, save big. They're already very affordable. You know, if you like printed polos and things like that, you're going to spend, under 80 bucks for a polo, and then you get to take 15% off. So it just makes a ton of sense. They got some like swimwear type stuff too. They got shorts, they got joggers, they got athletics athletic sets. I mean, it's they got all kind of stuff. Pullovers, quarter zips. So oh, be yeah. sure to check them out. I haven't seen anything on there that I don't like yet. So check them out. Bad Birdie Golf. Download their app for like exclusive new arrivals and stuff like that. So Bad Birdie, it's where fashion should end. I mean, it's the best. So just don't go past it. Dad 15. All right. Kind of continuing on the Live talk. The DP World Tour and the Live are in a lawsuit. The Liv was essentially suing them for not letting them play. They went to court and they just announced that, the DP World Tour won the lawsuit and, they do not have to allow the Liv Tour guys to play on that tour. And I mean, more power. I mean, I guess if you're going to make a stand, whatever, I think it's possibly the dumbest thing that they could ever do. Because they have an opportunity to see something. This is the PGA Tour is just not letting them do it, basically, is what's happening.
That's exactly what it is.
Big Brother is not letting little brother, you know, try to advance past them, because if they're shooting themselves in their own, they're cutting their nose off to spite their face. They have the opportunity to allow these guys to play in their tournaments and make the DP World Tour A, watchable, B, desirable. And just go like grow that tour like insane amounts. Can you imagine if this field was playing in what's the one they play every year that they play at St. Andrews? They play like three different courses, and then the last round they play at St. Andrews. I mean, like, there's so many historic tournaments over there they could play on, and they would be absolutely electric. Like, why would you not want that? Everything goes up. Prizes go up. Sponsors go up. Everything would go up. Like, it's insane to me that this is something that they would want. I saw somebody made a comment that said, like, Lee Westwood's played like 500 or so DP World Tour events. Mm-hmm. Tons of wins. You know, been a huge ambassador for the DP World Tour. He's not allowed to come back. Yet Will Zalatoris has been on tour for 5 years. He's played four events on the DP World Tour. He could go play any, you know, he brings nothing.
No.
Has invested nothing in the DP World Tour. No knock on him. It's just no knock on Will Zalatoris. He's a PGA Tour guy.
No, he's played in four events. I mean,
he's a PGA Tour guy. It's not his responsibility to go to the DP World Tour. But if he wanted to, he could go have full access, whereas Lee Westwood, who's invested his whole life into the DP World Tour, cannot. I don't really know what else you could say about it. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Well, and they're turning their backs on guys that got them there. You know, Ian Poulter said it best, where he said, you know, it's hurtful because he's done so much for Team Europe and through the years.
No Ryder Cup. That was part of it, too.
So. Yeah, no Ryder Cup. So those guys can't go play. But can you imagine, since they're not allowed to play in regular PGA Tour events, and, or, you know, when they're not playing live events, they can go to the DP World Tour, and you could have the DJs and the Brooks, who used to play DP World Tour when it was the European Tour, and you know, and the Lee Westwoods and the Ian Poulters and the HV3s. I mean, all these guys that have Bubba Watson, that have these superstar names, they could go and play these events. As you just said, they could sell tickets, they could sell sponsorships. And now what are they doing? They're like, and like the guy, the picture they showed when they announced that the lawsuit had been won, it was the director of the DP World Tour, and he was like grinning from ear to ear. I'm like, you're so dumb. Like, you're cutting out your field. Like, you're diminishing the field, and you're happy about it. Like, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you had the opportunity to take like a huge, huge step. Like, you could have changed the shape of the DP World Tour for like the next decade. Like, you could have made it almost. Because you're thinking the rest of the world. Like, you had opportunity to possibly rival the PGA Tour. I mean, you really did.
It comes down to, I've told you before, you got to have that contrarian in the room. It's like the DP World Tour guys and the PGA Tour guys are all sitting in a room. They're all thinking alike. They need somebody in that room that's going to be like, wait a second. Like, why are we doing this? Like,
yeah.
Just because you guys don't like live, is that why? Because we could better the field if we let them play in these events.
Hey, we could make a ton of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we could make a ton of money doing
and
this.
See, if I'm a PGA Tour guy, because I know the purses went up and they got the elevated events and that kind of thing that they're doing now, the PGA Tour. Yeah. Well, here's another thing. If I'm players or the players, if there is a PGA Tour Players Association, you got to go back to the PGA Tour now and you need to go, okay, well, now we need more money because apparently y'all don't need it because you're just cutting the guys out that could have developed more income on the DP World Tour. And since you don't need it, that must mean that you've got plenty of money to throw around. So instead of these elevated events being $3 million for a win, they need to be $4 million for a win. Because, right. You know, you clearly don't need the money because you're cutting these guys out and cutting yourself off from sponsorships and prize money and everything else. So, exactly. Yeah, these guys that are running golf right now are not thinking what can better the game of golf. They're thinking
pride. I'm mad.
Yes. I'm mad. My cheese has been moved. My cheese has been moved and now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do what I can to just get
cheese
back
has
the
been
guys
moved.
Pissed me off. Yes.
And has it been cut? Has it been cut?
Nope. Too? No,
not cut.
It's a book.
Moved.
You're showing your age,
and you're showing yours, sir.
Yes.
By moving cheese. All right, let's tell some stories. Let's tell some stories. But first, I want to give a shout out to Blue Tees Rangefinders, guys. I don't know what else we can say. I mean, it's one of the best rangefinders in the game. It's got all the features of the top dollar rangefinders, but it's a fraction of the price. I thought I lost mine the other day, but everybody at the club knows that.
Again?
Yeah, I know. I'm terrible. The magnet. Now the magnet is working against me.
You leave it on the cart?
Yeah, just leave it right there on the cart. But
has that got anything to do with adult beverages, or has that got everything to do with
magnet?
Not a thing.
But but everybody knows I'm the Blue Tees guy. So they know Kyle's going to be looking for his Blue Tees.
You're like, hey, that idiot left his Blue Tees rangefinder on the golf cart again.
Yep. So use coupon code DADBOD. Take 10% off. Already incredible savings. Get you a Bluetooth speaker, the divot tools, the mag towels, all that good stuff. It's not just rangefinders, but the rangefinder is dope. I mean, you just can't beat it. You just cannot beat it. If I see one of my friends – with a brand new Bushnell, I'm going to pop you right in the mouth. How about that? No, it's just pointless. You just like throwing money away because it's a complete waste. But anyway, check them out. Blue Tees Rangefinders. I just don't think they can be beat. All right. So it's no secret. I was at the Monday practice round. Weather was great. It was overcast, which was a little bit of a bummer, but temperature was great. It was a good, comfortable hoodie. Good, comfortable hoodie weather. Only sprinkled.
One that you bought there or one that you took with you?
I took with me. I did buy some to bring home. So I blacked completely out in the pro shop. Blacked completely out.
I'm sure you did.
I had a list of things that I was supposed to get for people. And I just started grabbing. I was like, give me a 14, give me a 12, give me a 22, give me this. I mean, it was like I was trying to win a game, but I was just losing. I was just nothing was going up except for my bill.
$1 million later.
So this is the most funny part. So, now keep in mind when I tell you these numbers, the only reason I'm telling these numbers is not to brag. It's just that I had a lot of stuff to buy for people. So yeah. I check out, it's $2,000 right off the bat. Okay. So $2,000 first trip through. I forget two things, literally just two things. I forgot to get a hat for someone and a t-shirt. Okay. The hats are like $32. T-shirts are like $40. Spend $500 more. I went in to get a singular hat and a t-shirt. I mean, it's crazy. The atmosphere gets you. You're just like, I gotta have this. I gotta have that.
It is incredible. The Hunger Games, and you're trying to grab stuff. And
but it's so like,
emotion
efficient.
Overtakes you.
Oh,
and
it's so efficient. That's another thing. It makes it so easy to just go start grab bagging. So,
I'm going to pay you back. Like Zach's going to pay you back. Your other friends are going to pay you back.
Yeah.
Does your wife know this charge hit your credit card?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've discussed it. Okay. We've discussed it. So, I mean, and then you get your bags full and you go to check out, and then the checkout aisles, it's like, you know, like the grocery stores, they try to put all the candy and stuff right there. That they put all the trinkets that are like 20, that's where they make their money. Like ball marks that are 20 bucks and Tervis tumblers and calendars and yardage book. Like, what do I need a yardage book for? I'm never going to play Augusta, but they got yardage books there. People are pulling yardage books out like this, like it's nobody's business. So, but no,
you weren't that guy in the crowd that was like looking at the yardage book in the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. Let me mark it. I'm charting shots.
DJ gets ready to hit and you're like 220. It's 220.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my experience there. We came in the top gate, which I was hoping I would come. I'm a big Southgate guy because Southgate, not a lot of people.
I don't know the Southgate and all that. What hole did it come in on?
Southgate comes in at 16.
Okay, you come so out I'm right North, on. I'm a Northgate guy then.
Yeah. So Northgate's where everybody comes in. That's the big one. And but I loved it because it ended up being fantastic because as you walk in, the first thing you come to is the driving range. And you can just – you feel it. You feel that he's out there before you even see him. You feel it. You can see the crowd. Hey,
and I know who you're talking about. And yes. You haven't even said the name yet. And
you can feel it, man. You can like feel it on the back of your neck. And there you look. You look 400 yards away. And you're like, well, damn, there he is. There's Big Cat right there. On the range.
There's the big cat.
Big cat's right there on the range. We walk.
Tell me that's not the needle, man. Tell me that, like, people that are constantly.
It gets no better. Like, it gets no. It's just seeing him in person. It's like, and what's crazy is, like, you see him and you like know him so well that, like, you feel like he should look over and be like, hey, what's up, Kyle? It's good to see you. You know what I mean? It's like he should know me because I know him so well. But no, so we got to the range and we watched him hit just shot after shot. Dad was like, my dad went with me. He's like, hey, you see those four balls out there that are within 6 inches of each other? That's where he's hitting. Watch. And then so he hits another shot and it just lands right there on top of all the other ball. Like, it's crazy. Freddie was right there hitting with him. They were warming up together. And then you got the guys that are plastering the tee times, like when people are going off. So
yeah,
we didn't know if he was going to go off the front or the back. I kind of felt like he was going to go off the back because I'm pretty sure from the pictures of Sunday, some of the stuff I saw, he was on the front nine. So I had a hunch he was going to go off the back because I think he only plays like nine holes a day.
Yeah, he went off the day I went. He went off on a Wednesday. We didn't know, and he went off the back, and he was done before we could even get around to see him.
Yeah, so I said, Dad, he was probably hitting like eight or nine iron when we got there. I was like, he's another 30, 45 minutes from getting out on the course. So let's go, you know, walk around a little bit. So we walked around and, you know, saw a couple of holes, walked up one, down two, and then we saw a board that said Woods going off the, you know, back nine, back number 10. And I was kind of going to get in that direction. I was like, all right, he just went off 10. Let's fly down to Amen Corner. Skip 10. Well, we were walking past 10 and we heard the first roar, which made the hair stand. And it turns out he chipped in. Like, he hit it short of the green and then chipped in for birdie. So, and everybody went nuts. Oh, wow. So then I was like, let's go to 11. So we go to 11 and I was like, here's the gamble, Dad. There's nobody right here in the fairway where they land. Like, there's nobody here. We could stay right here and we're probably going to be really close, or we can just keep flying to like 12 or whatever, if you want to see that. And he's like, no, let's just stay right here. Let's just stay right here at 11. So, and no joke, we're right there in the landing zone on the wire. Rory hit one first and it was right. You know how they planted those three random pines, like,
yeah,
long. So like, you can't just blow it way right, 'cause you got those three random smaller pines. He hits one kind of over there. Tiger's right down the middle, just right down the middle. Tom Kim was in that. It was Rory, Tiger, Freddie, and Tom Kim. Tom yep. Kim hit it right down the middle, a little bit past.
Oh, I looked for you on television. They showed the highlights of them walking, and I was like, I'm looking for Kyle.
Yeah. So, and then Freddie was way back. Freddie hits one to the – I didn't know you could land short and not go in the water, but he hit one short. Tiger hit one to probably – I don't know, let's just say 12, 15 feet. like easy. Rory hits this magical like cut around the there's three. It's like 1, 2, 3. He hit one to the left of the middle one, cut it out over the water to like 6 feet, and then he missed the putt. He does all the things that he does the thing, and he falls down that he does like if it's a regular round. But that was that, and then so we did that, and then we watched them. We were close to see them on 12, but not really close. But we watched them play 12, watched them hit into 13, and this is where I want to talk about 13. Okay, Rory is as long as he is. You got Tiger, and then you got Tom Kim. Okay, all three of them laid up. Rory laid up. Rory actually hit 3 wood off the tee. Tiger hit driver to the. They just go straight through the fairway to the very end of the fairway because that gets them past the corner. They laid up to probably about, I don't know, 100 or so yards. And I think Tiger actually hit his third one in the water. I think he hit it short and it spun back into the water. But anyway, so Rory McIlroy, one of the longest players on tour, played 13 as a three-shot par five. It is a completely different hole. I mean I've been before where it was so far up that you could have, and if you hit the right you get the right draw on it, I mean you can have a 7 or 8 iron in now. Mm-hmm. it's 3 iron hybrid 3 wood. Tom Kim actually dropped one, like he laid it up then he dropped one and hit 3 wood. So that's driver 3 wood in 13.
Like, did he get it there?
I think he hit it way left. I think he hit it way left. Mm. So I can't quite remember. But I was
being
telling you,
as far back as they are they still is the incline already started, or are they still the ball going to be way above their feet?
It's not as above because you're still kind of climbing. It's still tilted right to left a little bit, but you're kind of climbing up the hill, and then it starts to slope. So it's a little bit before that, but still, it's still above you a little bit from where they were, but not severely as if when you were in the bend, where it's like literally you're hitting off of a baseball tee. So DJ hit a big drive out there, and he hit one. He kind of fanned one out in the water and then dropped one and hit another one, hit it up there pretty close. But I mean, it's going to be a completely different hole. Like it's not a gimme birdie anymore. It's not even remotely a gimme birdie anymore.
It's changed so much. While you were traveling Sunday night, of course, they were doing favorite rounds at Augusta. Well, they, of course, four of them were Tiger. So I got to sit and watch Tiger play in 97. I was shocked, Kyle. This is how you know they've Tiger proofed Augusta National. I knew they made adjustments through the years. I didn't realize how bad it was. You were just talking about 11. Tiger hits into 11. He hit sand wedge back in 97.
I remember.
And eight on 18, he hit sand wedge one day and hit lob wedge the other day into 18. That's never heard of anymore. No. They're all hitting 6 irons into 18 now. Some of them, you saw Scheffler, he was hitting a 4 iron. Remember when he got in trouble last year, even though he got the win, he was hitting 4 iron into 18. And so it's shocking. And now that 13 will be added to that, because you just talked about it, the tees were so far up on 13 in 97, Tiger hit 3 wood off the tee. That's the joke that he always tells when Phil says, you usually hit your 3 wood that far, and Tiger like sticks the needle to him in the middle of the round. He goes, no, I usually hit it further. And and they had like 9 iron into the par five on 13. Now you're saying they're hitting driver 3 wood. Into 13.
Well, if you remember where you have to kind of be there to get it, but if you remember where Phil hit his ball from when he was in the trees, and the year he won, where he hit it to like 6 feet and then missed the eagle putt, but still won. That is probably, I would say, where his ball was from where they were hitting was at least 70 to 100 yards in front of where these guys were hitting from. Like that much further up to the end of the tree from where I think that they'll be, where a lot of folks will be hitting from. Like, just it's huge. It's a big, big difference. It's not so much the length as it is there's no angle. like you can't get an angle to cut a corner or if you, there's just, because it's a shoot of trees. So like you have to hit a straight ball with a draw or if to get anywhere close to getting around the corner.
Are they far enough back they can take a line over the trees and cut it back into the fairway?
Okay. No, there's no cutting it back. Like it's just a wall of trees. It's very similar to the 18 tee shot. The shoot it seems about that narrow. So, saw Sepp Straka hit the hole. We've all seen the highlight. I was there when he hit the hole in one on 12. That was really cool.
Did he remember you from Shoal?
He did not, but he was behind us in the group at Shoal. That was actually, he went nuts. He was so excited. So he's probably going to shoot 80 on Thursday and he'll be home before the sun's down on Friday. Freddie almost hit a hole in one on 12, which is really cool. They all hit pretty good shots. Tiger hit one, I don't know, 12 feet or so. Freddie hit one to about 2 or 3 inches. It looked like it was hanging on the edge. Like everybody was going nuts and it didn't drop though. But the highlight of the day was, so that was 13 and dad and I were looking at each other. We're like, we got to make a gamble here. Dad said, I want to be on a tee box. If we can, we're running out of holes. We're probably going to have to sacrifice some. What should we do? I was like, we got to go to 17 right now.
Yeah.
We're going to go to 17. They're going to play 14, 15, 16. We'll go to 17. We can see them play 16, but we can get on the tee box. So we ran over there and got right on the tee box. But the problem was there was already people crowded around where the tee markers were. So like, you know, your tee markers, they were crowded around that and we couldn't get close. We couldn't get that close. And that tee box is probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 yards long. Mm-hmm. So we were about 3/4 of the way back. So we're like, this is about as close as we're going to get, you know, unfortunately. So
yeah,
great thing was there was a concession stand within 100 yards.
There is.
So dad's popped up right there. I run to the concession stand behind 7 tee box. And I'm bringing the beverages, as we're doing that. Watch, Sahith Gala play, six and then tee off on 7. And then they get on 16. They all skip it. We all saw the highlights where they all dropped it at the same time and skipped it across. Tiger carried the whole, he never hit the water. His ball never hit the water. It's like he's never done it before. He carried the whole thing. They start walking up to the tee box and Ben, they don't go to the tee marker. They literally come right in front of us. Like, I mean, wow. I'm talking, Ben, I'm talking, if you're like in an average size bedroom, like from one wall to the other, like, I mean, we're talking Tiger is no more than standing on the other side of the tee box for me. And I promise, I feel like we made eye contact one time and it shook me in my soul. I felt electricity running through my body. It was crazy. Tiger teed it real low. And I was like, here comes the squeezer. This is the squeeze, you know, the squeezer cut. And he sure enough, just not super duper high off the ground, starts on the left side, ends up on the, right in the fairway. Rory teed off first and he hit a total baby, just baby. Like he babied it. Hit it in the trees way right. And then he re-teed one and hit a draw and he hit it like over the top of the hill, like way the hell down there. Like totally sent. I'm like, just hit that every time. But no, I mean, that was me and dad looked at each other and we're like, I mean, this is early in the day. We're like, I mean, we're not beating that. Like what do we do? Like what do we do now? So that was the highlight of the trip. I got some unbelievable photos. I took you can take a digital camera in on Monday. Yep. So I took a camera in. I got some great pics. We got some pics down around Amen Corner, ran into some friends, which is crazy. We had to develop a separation plan. Where do we go if we get separated? Dad said, I'm just going to sit down and, you know, and I'm not going to move until you find me, basically, because I have no idea where to go. You got to know my dad to make this make sense, but not a lot of like fancy golf stuff really moves the needle for him. And he was like a kid. It definitely moved the needle. It was fun to see. I mean, man, if you can ever go, it's so worth it. It's so worth everything. It lives up to everything. It lives up to everything. You just can't believe how efficient everything is, how great the lines move, how respectful everybody is, just how nice everybody. It's spectacular, man.
I've told people, being in the sales and customer service business, which you are as well, I've said the place to go if you want to train your people is Augusta National.
Yes.
With their hospitality, because everybody that works there makes you feel welcome. Like you feel like you're with friends and you don't even know these people. They're perfect strangers. It's Augusta National, Disney's number two, and Chick-fil-A's number three. Those are the three places where if you are in the HR business or in the customer service business, you got to go to those three places, preferably Augusta National being number one, because I was explaining, you know, how efficient they are. So Zach didn't know when he was on this morning, which your dad, by the way, heard us talking about you.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But Zach didn't know. I was like, they've got ushers in the bathroom. So they're telling you what stalls open. They don't want you wasting any time. They want you getting in and out of a concession, of bathroom, of everywhere, so you can go see the course. They want you to enjoy the atmosphere.
The first guy, the guy at the bathroom attendant over there by Amen Corner, he's fist bumping you as you go in. He goes, all right, blow it up. Not the bathroom, though. And let's fist bump, blow it up. Oh, not the bathroom. You got stalls on the wall. You know,
it's great, man.
I had a blast.
Did you get you a fruity drink behind 12? They sell a special drink there.
I had a quota of beer cups that I was getting for everybody. So we were pounding beers. We were going. Apparently I didn't get this before, but last year the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich was not available. They were back this year and I didn't get one the last time I went. Rocked my whole world. So thank God those were back. Those were phenomenal. I ate the barbecue, the egg salad. I'm just not a pimento cheese guy. Egg salad.
I love egg salad
one for me. And then the Georgia peach ice cream. And then
how many calories did you put away, Kyle?
You know, I didn't eat. I mean, the calories I got were definitely from the beer for sure. Yeah. The crow's nest, which is like a blue moon type beer. It was phenomenal. We ran through some of those. So,
but did you ask them what was their domestic this year? Because it switches back.
It was Miller Lite. Okay. Yeah. So we had several of those. So, but I think we walked all the calories off. So it was. My dad was like, "Man, this is a good time. I wish I had my phone. I could tell how far we walked. You know, I'd like to know how far we walked. But you know, maybe we should get a Apple Watch or something like that. That'll be what's out next. There was people texting and taking videos and answering phone calls with their dang Apple Watch. I'm like, how is that allowed? But
yeah, I thought about that this morning.
Yeah,
I didn't even, it hit me this morning as I was sitting at work and I was like, well, I wear an Apple Watch. And so I was like, I could get text on that. Now it doesn't have a camera on it, so I can't take pictures on it, but which kind of sucks because that's the only reason I wouldn't want my phone to text me. I would want my phone for pictures. That's the only reason I would want it.
Yeah. It's honestly really cool to not have a phone. It's honestly.
It is.
Spend 8 hours out there and you just don't have a phone. It's actually kind of cool.
You went yesterday and I didn't give you these instructions, but my other buddy, a guy that was in my wedding, he went today and I got my phone call this morning because you can call, they have the AT&T, they're not pay phones, they're courtesy phones.
Yeah.
And he called me this morning. And since I was on there, he left me a message and he said, "Mr. Taylor, this is your annual call from Augusta National Golf Course, reminding you to have a great day today." And like he hung up the phone. So I got that on my caller ID, Augusta National Golf Course on my caller ID. I meant to tell you to call a bunch of people so they could have that on their caller ID.
My buddy did that for me last year. It was pretty cool. But anyway,
yeah.
All right. We've talked a bunch. We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to talk some more, storylines, things like that. Pairings are out. We'll talk pairings and things like that. When you're listening to this, it's going to be Wednesday. So the next episode is going to be round one, like a pre round one. And then we'll do some, post round wrap up. So anyway, y'all have a great rest of the week. It's Masters week. It's the greatest week of the year. And, this is episode 277 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always,
always
broken.
Broken.
All right.
You've been listening to The Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.